This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby!
Big Blue Kitten's got a 2.5 length lead. Slumber, Twilight Eclipse on the inside are coming. Big Blue Kitten, Slumber, Twilight Eclipse. Big Blue Kitten won the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
Also sponsored by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainsway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, and Washington Hay.
Outward-bound Nyquist, swipe at the rail, swipe is coming fast, Nyquist calls on all his class, they hit and head for the wire, Nyquist was all hot.
American Pharoah put away Frosted, he has to deal with Keen Ice, Keen Ice has got him, Keen Ice has won the Travers over American Pharoah.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you as always, alongside my usual entry mate here on the program. You know him as the Pontiff, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, Pope Jude, whatever you want to call him. JT, good morning, my
friend. Good morning. Just don't call me late for breakfast.
We've never been late when it comes to food. We could rival the Big A in that respect.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, look, good morning. Happy to have you on board again and happy to be at the home of Pioneer of the Nile this morning as we take the show on the road and people go, okay, well, where is that? Well, it's Windstar Farm here in Versailles, and it is a spectacular setting for thoroughbred racing and for the breeding industry. We're broadcasting from the brand new breeding shed. Had a chance last year to do the show from here when it first opened. We return again, and we are surrounded by pictures of greatness. Looking at pictures of Breeders' Cup Classic winner Drosselmeyer, for example, which are all over the place here, and that's a picture I know that you're extremely fond of, my friend.
Yeah, that was a big score for me, Drosselmeyer. But Windstar Farm is just spectacular. I mean, the minute you get here, it takes your breath away. And as I was driving in, I was thinking to myself, you know, if I was going to have a farm, this would be the one. This is what it's all about.
It's easy to get lost in this place.
Oh, it's so it's so beautiful. Well, it's easy. You can get lost on a one-lane road. it was an adventure getting here this morning. The GPS didn't help Chauncey any, and we had trouble getting in the gate, but Chauncey's such a great producer. He got it all set up in
unbelievable.
About
well
less
done.
Than 3 minutes. He couldn't even smoke a cigarette in the time it took him to get this set up. But, you know, you mentioned the home of Pioneer of the Nile, but it's also the home of my all-time favorite stallion, More Than Ready.
Yeah, sire of Rush Rush.
Sire of Rush
First
Rush.
Horse that I ever bought into with the Bongo Boys.
There you go. One of your all-time favorite horses.
Yeah, by far.
Yeah.
Well, and of course, the reason we mentioned Pioneer of the Nile, folks will know him as the sire of the first Triple Crown winner that the sport has seen in 37 years. And, of course, that's American Pharoah, who goes postward next Saturday in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yes, of course. He's a wonderful sire, and American Pharoah has a huge chance in the Classic, and really looking forward to that. It's hard to believe it's a week away now.
6 days, 7 hours, and 26 minutes, to be exact.
Okay. Well,
since you brought it up.
I guess you told me.
How about the Kentucky Derby?
I just want to get through the Breeders' Cup
okay.
first.
One step at a time.
We'll worry about the Kentucky Derby later.
Even though we will likely see the winter book favorite for the Kentucky Derby determined next Saturday in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile,
yes,
with the winner of that race being the one to beat.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of bandwagons built next Friday and Saturday, I think. So we'll see.
196 days, 10 hours, 29 minutes, 28 minutes, 58 seconds.
John Asher thanks you for that plug.
Absolutely.
Nobody knows when the Kentucky Derby is.
All right, well, excited to have this show from WinStar this morning. Excited to talk about some of the stallions. We're going to cover an awful lot of ground. Of course, as we do edge closer to the Breeders' Cup, it's appropriate that we would be set up here this morning for you. We're going to be joined after our first commercial break by Caroline Walsh, who is WinStar's stallion season salesperson. She handles all of that. So we'll talk with her. We'll talk about some of the stallions, including Pioneer of the Nile. We'll tell you about some of the newest members to this outstanding roster as well. Then we're going to be joined right around 8:30 Eastern time by Gary Falter from OwnerView as he talks about the 2016 OwnerView conference at Gulfstream, which comes up in January. You'll hear more about that at 8:30 Eastern. Ann Hardy is the executive director of Horse Country Incorporated, and they are doing a lot of great things to bring people to the horse farms when they come to town for Breeders' Cup. And they're hoping that this initiative will continue all the way through and that people will get to experience this side of the business that so many people don't get the opportunity to do. So we'll talk to Ann about what they're doing with Horse Country and all of the farm tours right around 9 o'clock Eastern time. And then Sean Tugel will be with us from WinStar. He's the bloodstock services person here, and he'll tell us more about this WinStar program and, of course, all the outstanding stallions.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy show and a lot of cool stuff.
And we're going to update you on some of the workers that are happening this morning at Keeneland, even up at Belmont Park, Churchill Downs. Our good friend Steve Castagnola, who has been part of this program with John Gasper and Michael Hernan the past few weeks, is heading over to Churchill this morning to watch some of his top juveniles work, including Brody's Cause, who he is quite partial to for trainer Dale Romans.
Yeah, I think Dale Romans is quite partial to him, too. He kind of popped off and said he was going to win the Breeders' Cup juvenile.
You know what? I started to kind of handicap from the pre-entries that came out this week, strong pre-entries for the Breeders' Cup, and I started looking at that was one of the races. I thought he was the horse to beat.
Well, that's good. That's good for Steve, good for Dale. And,
no, it's not good for anybody if I'm on the horse. Well, it's probably bad news for them.
That's the problem. They ought to
Mikey Mush.
They probably ought to slip you each 100 and tell you not to bet the race.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an exciting race. The juvenile's always very cool. I was working on the turf races, the juvenile turf races myself this week, and looking up the Racing Post ratings on all the 2-year-olds and checking the Euros, you know, and it's gonna be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Once entries are out, we can get a little bit more serious. But there's so much to do for Breeders' Cup and so much work that it's great to have the pre-entries. You can start work and get some things out of the way, and then really concentrate when you have the post positions and all the rest.
Be sure to join Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney this afternoon from 4 to 6 Eastern for our exclusive coverage of Empire Classic Day from Belmont Park. They will be positioned in Elmont, New York to bring you all that coverage. 2 hours, 4 to 6 Eastern. It comes up exclusively on our website, horseracingradio.net. We'll get to a break. We'll come back and visit with Caroline Walsh to talk about the WinStar Stallions. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Lane's End.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillip retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2.25. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillip, standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings were in high demand, while a colt by Gio Ponti topped the first session of the OBS fall mix sale, selling to Conquest Stables after working 3/8 and 33 flat. All of this coming on the heels of his impressive maiden winner, Pirellone, at Belmont Park. To learn more about Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, visit CastletonLions.com.
Since the beginning, the stallions at Claiborne Farm have made an unprecedented impact on the Breeders' Cup. These stallions have sired more winners at more Breeders' Cup races than any other stud farm in the world.
Once again,
the line has circled!
When the best horses from across the globe compete in the Breeders' Cup, you can bet the Claiborne Stallions will make their mark. Claiborne Farm, firmly at the heart of the Breeders' Cup.
Kale Density announces a revolutionary gastrointestinal guard and aid for all classes and all ages of horses. A natural registered animal feed product, it comes as a single dose disposable syringe or a handy top dress squeeze pouch. Field trials on Kale Density Digestive Aid have returned 100% favorable results as observed by their trainers and owners, and the cost is half of what horsemen are accustomed to paying. Kale Density Digestive Aid will be available in mid-November, or you can order online at caldensity.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Gallo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
American Pharoah has opened up a two-length lead as they come to the top of the stretch. And Frosted has moved up into second, and they're into the stretch. And American Pharoah makes his run for glory as they come into the final furlong. Frosted is second with 1/8 of a mile to go. American Pharoah's got a two-length lead. Frosted is all out at the 16th pole. And here it is. The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Well, that never gets old, does it?
No.
Larry Comas.
It's amazing how many times we've heard it, and it still brings back that day right there.
Yeah, and I still picture the shot that NBC did of Larry in the booth as he's calling it, and his hands are up in the air, and he's pumped up. He was so into it, and as was everybody at Belmont Park. We were, kind of whipping and driving down the stretch trying to keep American Pharoah going up in our radio booth. It was kind of cool.
I was a little bit more calm, but my daughter was going absolutely nuts. She was standing on a chair in the booth across from us, and I was watching him, and then I looked over, and I saw Ryan going absolutely crazy, and then she started crying. It was like, it was really cool. It was a good, great moment to share with her.
Well, of course, American Pharoah is a son of Windstar Stallion, Pioneer of the Nile. We're going to talk with Caroline Walsh about that here in just a moment. But before we do, we want to remind you that American Pharoah goes postward next Saturday in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic. He is the first Breeders' Cup, first Triple Crown winner in the history, since the inception of the Breeders' Cup. And that's exciting news in its own right. We're going to be there as your exclusive radio home. The only place you're going to hear that race on radio is with us, coast to coast, worldwide, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete schedule. Coverage kicks off Tuesday morning. That's this coming Tuesday morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, with the first of four Breeders' Cup countdown shows, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. We'll have those for you presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns. And then we come back Friday and Saturday afternoon with every single Breeders' Cup race, and of course all that coverage is presented by our friends at Kale Density.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week. Looking forward to Tuesday. Can't wait to get out there. The morning shows are great. You're going to have to come by and talk to us a little bit on the morning shows when you're out there. I know you're going to come out.
Definitely.
Caroline, welcome to the program. Happy to have you here, and happy to be here at Windstar Farm in this gorgeous new stallion barn.
Oh, it's a beautiful barn. Well, thank you very much for coming out and for having me on. It's very exciting.
Yeah, excited to have you
here. Glad to have you. It's hardly like a barn, really. It's not what you think of when you think of a barn. It's more like a five-star hotel.
Yeah, it's very impressive. I still kind of have to pinch myself when I walk in here. I'm like, yep, this is my job.
We pulled in, right? You pull in, you see the main office up on the hill, and it was illuminated because it was still a little bit dark when we got here. And it was just absolutely gorgeous. And then you see this new stallion complex on the other hillside. boy, it's a dream come true to work out here.
It absolutely is. Yeah, it's a phenomenal phenomenal establishment. The Stallion Barn is 3 years old, so we're just going into our fourth season here. And I mean, we're very lucky in that we could build a kind of purpose built facility for this. So we got to design everything, and it works really, really well for us. And then obviously this kind of entrance area is great. You know, we have a lot of tours. We encourage fans of the sport to come by, and it's great for hosting people. You know, it's a great way to showcase the farm and the stallions.
Yeah, it's a fabulous place, and you're going to have a big event here on Thursday night as well.
We are indeed. Yeah, we're hosting the Taste of the World party for Breeders' Cup, so we're very excited about that, as our Breeders' Cup, and it's getting a lot of buzz and excitement, so it should be a really, really good evening.
Yeah, hottest big ticket concert too, right?
It's impossible to get a ticket to that. It's crazy.
It is, yeah. It's going to be 1,500 people, so it's a pretty big operation. We're having it out of our foaling barn and then a marquee behind it. So everything's kind of in construction at the moment, and the farm is all go, go, go. So,
yeah, and what's the concert? She's looking at me like, hold on. Yeah, I know it's a big name artist that's playing out here.
Yeah,
it's like
is.
It's A-list, yeah. Somebody told me. I wasn't even aware of it. But
hold on.
We're going to get verification here. All right.
Tim McGraw, sorry.
Yeah, he's big time. Tim McGraw, he counts.
Apologies. I'm kind of catching up on my country stars at the moment. Being from Ireland, we're not big country artists.
Well, Tim McGraw may change your mind, but you've been working 80 hours a week getting ready for breeding season.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, we're busy at the moment. We just released stud fees this week, and we've kind of done something different this year in that we've got a lot of stallions that are represented in the Breeders' Cup races. And, you know, previously a lot of farms would release those stud fees after the Breeders' Cup, you know, if they're going to be affected by winners. But what we've done this year is to go ahead and release them ahead of time at a rate where excluding them having Breeders' Cup winners, and get people the chance to kind of book to them now ahead of them potentially having winners. So, you know, we've been really busy and it's been really well received.
How significant is it to be able to say that we stand the sire of the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years?
Absolutely unbelievable. You know, I think it's something that the farm is really, really proud of. It's something that we get a lot of good feedback from. We get a lot of people coming to the farm now, you know, more tourists, more people call wanting to see him. You know, obviously he's phenomenally popular with the breeders, but I think it's great for us to have such an icon, you know, for the thoroughbred industry here. And we're really doing our best to showcase him and embrace that, you know, new flush of fans for him. I mean, especially, you know, he's a 10-year-old horse. For a 10-year-old horse to have the first Triple Crown winner in 37 years, I think we're probably likely to see a lot more from him. So we're very proud of him.
What's the process going to be like now when you get all these bookings? I mean, there's probably every major farm in Kentucky is going to try to breed at least one mare, you know, probably five mares. You're going to get a stack to go through. What's the process going to be like? How many shares does the farm breed? How many shares does Mr. Zayat have? I mean, how does all that work? Because our listeners are interested in the process, really.
Well, I mean, so last year he bred a book of 137 mares, and he'll probably breed around the same amount this year. You know, it's very hard to be specific, and he's obviously going to be very, very popular. So, you know, for myself and for Kyle Wilson, who's the director of Stallion Season Sales, for Elliot Walden, who's the CEO and president, and Sean Tugel, who works Stallion Season Sales with us as well, what our job is to, you know, kind of receive the applications for mares, try and get the best breeding, you know, like we want to be fair to everybody with crosses, you know, what we think is going to work the best and you know, do best by the horse himself, but also do best by our breeders. And at the same time, you know, we want to recognize the loyalty of the people who have bred to him in previous years and make sure that, you know, everybody gets a chance to have some access to him. Obviously, you know, he's gone up significantly in stud fee this year, so we want to take that into account and just really try and do our best for the breeders. So it, you know, it's not an easy job to try and sort that out, but we're going to do our best and hopefully everybody will be happy at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think the other benefit of standing a horse that's produced a Triple Crown winner, Jude, you mentioned that every farmer is going to want to try and breed a mare to him if they can, at least one mare, if you can find that right nicking pattern. But then when you look at those horses in the sales ring, the young horses, the yearlings, and the two-year-old in training that are going to go through the ring, the benefit there is going to be immense too, because now the sales prices on a horse that's by Pioneer of the Nile are going to be increased too.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, he's probably going to be, going forward, extremely popular across the board. And obviously, you know, having the Triple Crown winner has raised him up into the category of, you know, the kind of top level sires. So it'll be interesting to see how that reverberates back now onto sales prices and his popularity this season going forward. So,
speaking of popular stallions, you have another stallion out here that I'm going to touch on. His name is Super Saver, and he's done some good things in his career as well. And now he's doing some great things at stud.
Yes, he is having a phenomenal year. He has had three grade one winners from his first crop. So it's, you know, we're very, very excited. It's the best start to stud since Seattle Slough. So all eyes on him going forward. He is standing this season for 55,000. He's one of the horses that may be affected by the Breeders' Cup. He's represented by two runners. He's got Run Happy entered. So he'll be probably favorite, going forward in the sprint. And then he's also got Super Majesty, for Foxwood, so we're very excited to have those two options for him. He is the only Kentucky Derby winner that we stand at Windstar, so we're very, very proud of him. He's also another big fan favorite. You know, we get a lot of requests to come and see him, and he's a very good tempered horse, so he likes to have all his fans out here, which is great.
Well, he's Windstar's Kentucky Derby winner.
Exactly, he
so
is.
There must
he
be
is.
A little source of pride there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's, yeah, it's very exciting to have bred and raced him, so.
Yeah, one horse has created a lot of buzz in the industry is Bodie Meister. Mm-hmm. And his baby's going through the ring now, and at auction they're bringing really strong prices. Mm-hmm. And you have to be thrilled with the way that Bodie Meister's being received.
Unbelievable. I mean, he sold 18 yearlings this year for over 250,000. I think that's a phenomenal start. He's the leading freshman sire by yearling average. His average is over 176,000 at the moment, which is unbelievable. He's Keeneland Book One average was 284,000. So it's just been really, really exciting. He's one of the other horses that's getting a lot of applications at the moment. So we're keeping us very busy.
Very impressive how you rattle off those numbers, almost like a politician. You know, you know every little aspect. That's cool.
Well, yeah. Trying to keep up with it. We've got a roster of, well, we stood 20 last year and we're going to stand 22 this year. So, you know, it's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, very, very busy.
Yeah.
Tell me about my favorite stallion, More Than Ready. How's he doing?
He's doing really, really well. He had a great landmark year. He topped 150 stakes winners worldwide. So obviously, you know, he's an extremely popular stallion in the Northern Hemisphere, but he's also got a solid following in Australia too. So he's enjoying himself down there at the moment.
My brothers and I campaigned the first More Than Ready stakes winner, Ready to Live, back in the day. So I've always been partial to him. Plus, I've cashed a few bets, including hitting a pick six with a More Than Ready first-time starter. So he's very close to my heart.
Wow, that's very good. And he's obviously, you know, well-connected to the Breeders' Cup with three Breeders' Cup winners. And he's represented again this year in Emeralia, who's come over from Europe. So I'm giving it a bit of a cheer for the Europeans.
Ran a big race first time out in this country.
In the Frisette, yeah, second. Yeah, really, really impressive. So. Yeah.
Visiting with Caroline Walsh, who is the Stallion Seasons salesperson here at Windstar Farm. So if you want to go ahead and get a season, she can help you out with that. More Than Ready is one of the established sires here at Windstar. You mentioned his numbers that he's had over the years, and Jude goes back a ways with his first stakes winner. But then you think about some of the other ones. And I mentioned we're surrounded by pictures of Drosselmeyer, who's a Breeders' Cup Classic winner. How about Tisnow, who is a two-time Breeders' Cup Classic
winner?
The
only.
The only. That's right, the only.
Yeah.
And then Spitestown and Artie Schiller, you've got those established mm-hmm. stallions as well.
Yeah, yeah. And actually everybody's represented from, you know, apart from we've got More Than Ready with Nemorelia. Tisnow has Tourist and My Sweet Addiction entered. Artie Schiller's got Gliding By coming out in the Juvenile Filly's Turf. And then Spitestown's got Recepta and Barbados. So we're obviously kind of passing on that success in the Breeders' Cup, which is nice to see. We've got a lot of good Breeders' Cup connections, so we're very excited to have it in Lexington, and we're excited to have Taste of the World and, you know, really embrace that connection for us and our stallions.
You'll like this. I did a little handicapping and introduction to Raritan for some people from Bullet Bourbon that they invited all over. And one of the guys that was there said to me, there's a lot of horses with the name Tiz in it. Is that kind of a Kentucky thing? So I explained to him about Tisnow and two Breeders' Cups. And, oh, that's really cool. So the rest of the day he was betting on all the Tisnows. He went through his program and circled them all. So it was great to be able to share that with people. And there were a lot of people that wanted to come back. They'd never been to the racetrack before, and they wanted to come back and go to farms. And Windstar Farm was one of the farms that I suggested that they go to, because it's just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, we do embrace people coming out and, you know, doing tours, and we do them regularly. So if anybody did want to come out and see, yeah, for
she
sure.
She says with a sigh.
No, I love them. I love them. It's great for me because, you know, it's nice to meet people. And I mean, it's probably not as easy for people to understand me as the other people that do the tours, but I'm there in enthusiasm.
Caroline, tell me about the two new additions to the roster, Carpe Diem and Daredevil.
Yeah, we're very excited to be welcoming these two new guys. So Carpe Diem, he is a Son of Giants Causeway out of an Unbridled Song mare, grade one winner, a 2 and a 3. He's a really, really beautiful horse. He was a $550,000 yearling and a $1.6 million OBS March sales topper as a two-year-old. And, you know, when you look at him, you can really see the numbers there. He's been received really well. He's going to stand for 25,000 this year. And we're very, very excited to have him. We've had a lot of interest in him, and we're looking forward to seeing how he's going to do in his first season. And we've also announced Daredevil. So Daredevil was an extremely fast two-year-old. He ran 107 Byer, winning the Champagne Grade 1. He's a Son of More Than Ready out of a 49er mare. So we're also very excited to have him there. He was the fastest two-year-old of 2014, and you know, he's looking good. He's by your favorite, and yep, he's got a lot of qualities to him, similar to More Than Ready. So yeah, we're really excited to have them both. He's going to stand for 12,500, which I think is a great price point for him. And again, the feedback so far has been really, really good.
Yeah, that sounds like a bargain, really.
Yeah, it does. Caroline Walsh here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Caroline, I was looking through your bio, and you have that Irish accent. Of course, grew up in Dublin City, Ireland, but you were originally born in New York. I'm not picking up on that New York accent at all.
I didn't get a long time there to establish it, and I won't do an impression because I'm...
Well, can you say forget about it?
Forget about it.
Not bad.
Yeah, my parents are both Irish, so dad was transferred over there for work and he was in New York for 6 years. I was born and moved back when I was 3. So didn't really understand how important having American citizenship would be when I was growing up. But as soon as I got into the thoroughbred industry and found my way to Kentucky, I was very, very grateful that I have that. So it's made coming back here to work a little bit easier, and certainly second home to me now. So
our good friend Michael Hernan was on the program the past few weeks during Keeneland, and he was very into the Irish rugby team that was in the World Cup. Were
yes.
you following that closely?
Yeah,
too?
Yeah. We're a big rugby family at home, so I was following it. Unfortunately, we're gone now. Devastated. We didn't do too great against Argentina, unfortunately, but we'd lost a few key players and stuff. So, you know, but the experience, I think, overall was really good. And the matches before that, we had a lot of Irish fans go over to the matches. So very proud of the team.
Yeah, McCarthy's was packed, evidently, every game day.
When is it not? It's hard. It's hard not to feel at home in Lexington, the amount of Irish people hanging around.
That's
here.
Right.
Well, Caroline, we appreciate the time. Appreciate all your help with everything out here. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. And we will go ahead and get that over to you. And thanks so much for all your help and for having us out here.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, Caroline Walsh, the Windstar Stallion Seasons salesperson. She will help you out there, and you can contact her at cwalsh@windstarfarm.com to get your next seasons to these outstanding stallions. Time now for our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington, and we're back to visit with Gary Falter from OwnerView right after this.
Quote, "He was a man, taken for all in all, we shall not look upon his like again. Let the autumn wind harp on the dropping leaves, her soft requiem over him. Let the winter's purest snow rest spotless on his grave. Let spring entwine her brightest garland for his tomb, and summer gild it with her mildest sunshine, and let him sleep embalmed in glory." Unquote. The man being profiled in this piece was a personification of the American success story of rags to riches. No better example can be found in any field of human endeavor. His career as a breeder, developer, and master salesman of both standardbreds and thoroughbreds cuts a broad swath through the annals of racing history. For 11 consecutive years, he was the nation's leading owner and breeder of horses, winning races that were bred on his farm. He was born December 28, 1856, in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and he was the oldest son of a family that came to these shores from Roscommon, Ireland, in the mid-18th century. As a youth, he, being the oldest son, had to learn to fend for himself very quickly, and as a result developed a marvelous physique while excelling in boxing, swimming, running, and jumping. In his later years, he became quite friendly with the likes of Bob Fitzsimmons and Gentleman Jim Corbett, and he was a sparring partner for the legendary John L. Sullivan. He had many early trials and triumphs while overcoming many obstacles and barriers before moving to Kentucky as still a young man with limited resources, to say the least. There he purchased a few horses, and a legend in its own right was incepted. In time, he was involved in breeding, selling, and racing horses on a small tract of land along Winchester Pike in Lexington. This was the beginning of the building of a historic farm, which he named after a superb thoroughbred he raced in the late 1890s. That farm eventually spanning 2,000 acres of the beautiful bluegrass. He became a world-renowned breeder and stuck to his guns during the time when racing was in some jeopardy early in the 20th century. He was constantly encouraging young farmers to go into the breeding of thoroughbreds. Because of these activities and his virtually unbounded charity and philanthropy, his mark became very deeply emblazoned on the pages of the history of the thoroughbred world. He was a deep thinker indeed and an ardent student of bloodlines, and he coined the following phrases, quote, "No foot, no horse. Opinions die, records live." As to size of horses, well, many big turnips are indeed hollow. Frequently I hear of a horse being called a quitter, or that he stops. This is, after all, a recommendation for a horse, since it is our aim to breed very fast horses, and only very fast horses stop and quit. Five Kentucky Derby winners first found the light of day at his farm: Old Rosebud, Sir Barton, Paul Jones, Zev, and Flying Ebony. He also bred and raced the likes of Princess Doreen and Sir Martin. The latter in his time was the only American horse ever to start as the favorite in the English Derby. As you drive out of Lexington along Winchester Pike, there is a slight elevation that slopes to and faces that road from the farm. There's a plot of ground there enclosed by a stone wall shaped like a horseshoe, and there are buried Plotted, Starshot, Ogden, and others aptly marked by gravestones, and a separate enclosure for Nancy Hanks, the famous mare, with a granite monument. The farm, Hamburg Place. The man, having been profiled, died in 1929 at the age of 72, but the legend lives on. He was truly a giant in his time and was known as the Wizard of the Turf. He was John E. Madden.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
It's closing weekend, so come out and join us for outstanding racing and a whole lot more right here at the Great Race Place. Saturday's feature is the $200,000 Twilight Derby at a mile and one-eighth on turf. Check out our popular 50-cent pick five, and don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four each weekend, so come early and get a leg up on your handicapping at the corner with Tom Quigley beginning at 11:50 a.m. in the East Paddock Gardens. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Power. Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard, News Arcanarios, is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Vendome. Lead run from Edeldor. Carrick Gondi, Edeldor. Carrick Gondi.
Gainesway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Carrick Gondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Carrick Gondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. He returns to defend his title October 31st at Keeneland. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Stop Charging Maria, Untappable, and Sheer Drama to the outside. Three quarters in 111 and 2, and they're into the stretch. Sheer Drama has taken the lead. It is now Sheer Drama in front. Untappable, Stop Charging Maria, Got Lucky is closing on the far outside, past the 16th pole. Sheer Drama has the lead. Untappable on the inside, and Got Lucky. Sheer Drama has won the personal ensign by a length and a half over Got Lucky. And then it was Untappable and Stop Charging Maria.
Sheer Drama winning the personal ensign at Saratoga in her previous start. We'll see her in action next week, Friday, as a matter of fact, in the Breeders' Cup Distaff. Looking forward to that race and to all the Breeders' Cup races, which, of course, you'll hear exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All that coverage presented by our friends at Cal Density. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, for a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule as we kick off 20 hours of exclusive Breeders' Cup coverage on Tuesday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Make sure you check it all out at horseracingradio.net. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, we are back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. And speaking of Lane's End, well, as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, just visit lanesend.com.
There you have it.
Gary Falter is the man behind OwnerView. And if you haven't been to the OwnerView website, you're really missing out. And if you haven't been to an OwnerView conference, the first one being held last year at Keeneland, you are really missing out. Next year's conference takes place January 11th to the 14th. It's at Gulfstream Park in Hallandale Beach. We will be there. I'm one of the moderators of the panels. Can't wait to participate in that as I did last year. And let me tell you something, Jude. This conference last year knocked it out of the park. And it was the first one. Gary Player was delivering the keynote address. And the entire event met with rave reviews. And if people haven't checked it out, they can go to ownerview.com.
Yeah, well, it's a great program. And you're not going to have to twist too many arms to get to Hallandale Beach in January.
No. Same time as the Eclipse Awards, too. So yeah, great timing.
It's a beautiful place to be. Gulfstream Park, a fantastic racetrack, and you can learn a lot about the business at the OwnerView Conference.
Well, Gary, welcome to the program, and congratulations on all the success of the conference, and looking forward to that conference coming up January 11th to the 14th.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's good to be back on your show, and we're pretty excited about this upcoming conference. As you said, we just had a wonderful conference at Keeneland back in October of last year, and the Gulfstream Park and the Stronach Group, they've really stepped up nicely, and we're going to have just as nice, if not even a better, conference for owners to attend in January, and what a great place to be. South Florida in January, can't think of a better place to be.
No, absolutely not. And for people that aren't familiar with what the OwnerView Conference is all about, fill us in on what they can expect when they do show up.
Sure, yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have panels with a lot of different experts, owners and trainers, veterinarians, you know, owners of all different levels talking about just a variety of topics. So, you know, we try to have about a half a dozen panels of very relevant topics to owners. We try to make the subject matter something that all owners would find interesting, whether you're a new owner or considering becoming an owner. And even longtime owners that attended last year's conference found the panels to be interesting. One thing that we discovered last year were the social events played a huge role in the success of the conference. And with the networking and people making new acquaintances and just sharing information back and forth. And so we've added several very nice social events at this year's conference. And, you know, the whole theme about this is, you know, we're not selling anything but a lifestyle here. And if it resonates with someone who's considering ownership, wonderful. We try to be as neutral as we can be and just presenting the information so that the owners who are coming into our game can come in with their eyes wide open through either using the website or coming to the conference and meeting great people and socializing and exchanging information. So we've got a lot planned for this conference. We had a real nice surprise guest appearance last year where Penny Chenery came out on the stage and had a real nice interview with Tom Durkin that was not announced. The governor of Kentucky, Governor Beshear, made a surprise appearance. And we got a couple surprises in store for this conference coming up. I can't talk about them or they wouldn't be surprises.
I refer to this conference as new and improved, and that is not a knock on the conference last year, Gary. It's a compliment to you and to the entire team on what you're able to do to build on the success that you had last year.
Yeah, and that's our goal, is every year to make this a better conference, and not just a bigger conference, because we expect about the same number of people, maybe a handful more, but you know, we just want to build on this every year to make this a event that owners throughout the country can look at and say, you know, I want to attend that this year and meet some new people and exchange ideas. So, you know, it came to our surprise a couple years ago when we first started planning this that this had never been done before. There's not been a conference in our industry dedicated in its entirety to thoroughbred owners. So, you know, this being the second event, we're going to step it up even more than we did at Keeneland. And when we put this on, you know, in subsequent years, we just look for this to be just a quality event. And owners deserve that. You know, our owners are one of the top, if not the top, investor in our industry. And we just want to make this something that owners across the country can attend and get value from.
Can you talk about some of the topics that are going to be covered during the conference?
Sure, absolutely, yeah. And we have this all on our website at ownerview.com. If you just click on the conference and the conference schedule, we have the full schedule out there. But Frank Stronach's going to give the welcome message, and then we're going to have an overview of ownership, what every owner should know. And, you know, we've got Jen Shaw and representing Dean Dorton and Ford talking about some accounting issues. We've got an attorney on there from Stoll Keenan, Richard Nunnally, Reynolds Bell, a bloodstock agent advisor, very well-respected gentleman. He's going to be on the panel. So they're going to talk about topics that every owner should know, not just new owners, but even existing owners. So that'll be an interesting panel, acquiring your thoroughbred. A lot of people wanted to talk about, in last year's conference, what are the different methods for acquiring your thoroughbred, either claiming or through public sales or private sales or breeding to race. So we've got a real nice panel put together talking about that subject. Last year's panel with the jockeys was a huge hit, so we're bringing back some jockeys. We've got Jerry Bailey and Joe Bravo and Johnny V, and we're still lining up one more jockey to be on this panel. And they're going to talk about, you know, what are some of the decisions and dangers of being a jockey and the characteristics needed to be a successful jockey. So that'll be a fun panel to listen to. And then on day two, we're going to start off with Jim Rome. Our keynote speaker is going to talk about his experiences as a thoroughbred owner and just his experience in general as a sports radio celebrity. And then we're going to bring some owners in to talk about pursuing your dream. You know, this is a lot of this is about chasing your dream and some of their success stories. Ken Ramsey, Don Little from Centennial Farm, owner of Wicked Strong, Sheila Rosenblum, who we know, the owner of La Verdad. And, Mike, I think that's the panel we've got you down for moderating. And then we always want to talk about aftercare at these conferences. We want owners to be very tuned in to the fact that it's the owner's responsibility to make sure that their horses are well cared for at the racetrack and that they have an opportunity for a second career. So we'll talk about that life journey of the thoroughbred racehorse and the care at the racetrack that they receive. And then we're going to have Simon Bray and Tim Ritvo go over all the different people involved with your thoroughbred. A lot of owners have access to their trainers and grooms on a daily basis, but the exercise rider, the jockey's agent, the blacksmith, the veterinarian, the equine dentist, you know, the hot walker, the identifier. So we're going to have a session where we're going to just try to identify as many people that have a hands-on access to owner's horse and then give them an idea that it's not just the trainer and groom that's involved with your horse. So a lot of different topics. We're going to have some breakout sessions on day one, which is Tuesday the 12th, so that the attendees of our conference can also have a session where they can, you know, get into some detailed questions with the panelists.
Gary Falter from Owner View here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, that Owner View conference coming up in January at Gulfstream Park. You won't want to miss it. And if you heard Gary run through the roster of guests and panels there just a moment ago, Gary, first of all, I want to thank you because my panel is going to be 5 minutes after Jim Rome finishes his keynote address on the second day of the conference. So I want to thank you for scheduling Jim Rome as my opening act.
Yeah, that's like following the horse that just sold for $4 million in the ring. But I know
right,
it's going to be a good panel.
With a $5,000 claimer
that you're moderating. I'm excited to see that one.
And I want to thank you for that as well, because I'll get a chance to visit with Don Little Jr. and Sheila Rosenblum and, of course, Ken Ramsey. And, again, all I have to do is say, Mr. Ramsey, good morning, and the panel will be taken care of.
Right.
Yeah, the rest of the crew may not get a word in edgewise.
It'll be wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it.
For the conference guys, well, they're going to be just off the chart for next year. And we're even right now we're negotiating the possibility of having a top name entertainer come to the conference. I can't divulge who that is, but we should know in the next week or two whether or not we're going to have a top entertainer there.
All right. Well, as soon as you know, let me know, and we'll make sure we get the word out. That's what I was going to say.
Yep.
You can go to ownerview.com to see that entire list of events and panels, and you can, of course, register at ownerview.com. Gary, as always, appreciate the support, appreciate you taking a little time here this morning, and look forward to catching up with you again before we get down to Florida.
Okay, my pleasure, and good luck to you all. Thanks.
Gary Falter, like all of our guests who appear on the program, will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It's the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com.
Yeah. Love the Embrace the Race stuff.
How about that? Not often that you get to be the featured speaker after Jim Rome, right?
Yeah, that's right.
He'll do his little spiel, and then I'll come on and host the panel right after him.
He may go over time.
I wonder if he'll introduce me.
Oh, there you go.
Probably not. It'll be Tom Durkin. Tom's the master of ceremonies.
Well, either way. You can't lose either way.
No, you cannot. No, that's wonderful. And I really hope that I have the opportunity, because Jim Rome is one of the most prolific radio personalities that we have in the country, television personalities as well. And I really hope that I have the opportunity to sit down with him one-on-one and visit with him for 15 or 20 minutes like we did with Gary Player last year, because that was one of my highlights of the entire 2014 season, was being able to sit down and talk one-on-one with Gary Player.
Yeah, Gary's really interested in the business, trying to make it better all the time. And, of course, your interest in golf probably didn't hurt any either.
We didn't talk much golf. So, Gary, what's the most balls you've ever lost during a round? Think you can top my number?
Nobody can top your number.
Have you ever lost 18 balls in a round?
I have not, Gary? No. No. Oh, I have. Gary hasn't.
I was going to open the interview with that question, but I didn't know how it would go.
You even lost Jamal's balls.
Oh, God, that's a whole other story. The Godfather at the Lexus store loves that one. All right, we're going to get to a break. We will come back and get you set for the second half of the program. Busy second hour on tap. Stay with us on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is the finest premium Western Timothy and alfalfa, direct from Washington State. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in Central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Learn more by following Washington Hay Company on Facebook today.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to NHCTour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading 3-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top 3-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by 5.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
HRRN is proud to bring you the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, Tuesday through Friday morning during Breeders' Cup Week at Keeneland. We'll broadcast live from trackside and bring you interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, keep you informed with up-to-the-minute news leading up to the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, October 27th through the 30th, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Join HRRN later today for Empire Showcase Day live from Belmont Park. The spotlight will shine on the Empire State when the top New York breds gather at Belmont Park to compete in 8 stakes races, highlighted by the $300,000 Empire Classic. And HRRN will be there to bring you all the action live. Empire Showcase Day, only on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, I'm Richard Migliori, and I love listening to Horse Racing Radio Network. Good night, Barbados.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Homeward bound in the classic Day Mondu. So You Think gets a run on the inside. Uncle Mo's right there to honor and serve in the red cap on the outside. Stay thirsty. Have Raider Grace tries to get involved late, but Day Mondu is just battling them all off. Day Mondu has the lead. Yes, Drosselmeyer out of there. Clouds! Drosselmeyer from nowhere. And Drosselmeyer and Mike Smith have beaten Chantel Sutherland on Day Mondu. Ruler on ice finishes third. And Hub Raider Grace. the fourth. What a finish to the Classic. It looked like game on, dude, have it. But Mike Smith had other ideas.
Well, Trevor Denman bringing them home in the 2011 Breeders' Cup Classic, and that was Drosselmeyer, who now stands at Windstar Farm here in Versailles. And JT, when you think back on that night, and I played that clip just for you, by the way, that was a very special night for you in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, it was the Mott Daily Double. Was it the Ladies' Classic then, or was it the Distaff? I can't remember which they called it.
I think
then,
it was the Ladies' Classic in 2011.
Yeah, and so it was a big,
not one of the greatest decisions, by the way.
Big,
I love the Distaff.
Yeah,
it's always the Distaff.
It's back to the Distaff,
right?
Now, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good thing. But it was so exciting and kind of a bet that I made. At the last minute, I loved Royal Delta. As you know, I saw her work. I thought it was the best workout that I'd ever seen in my life. And then, I was walking up to our location, and there was a little sign on one of the televisions: "Don't forget to bet the Distaff Classic Double," or whatever Churchill was calling it. So I said, I got to figure out who's going to win the Classic. So I went upstairs and got my PPs, and I studied for about an hour, and I said, Drosselmeyer's going to win. And I went down and I played a $40 Daily Double, which I never do.
Yeah. But,
and it hit. And then that night, my wife Gretchen and I were out to dinner with her dad at Jeff Ruby's, and Mott and his wife were having dinner there. I went over and thanked him. Thank you very much. That was awesome. He goes, that was a pretty nice couple days. And I said, yeah, very nice.
Yeah, great for him.
So.
And, of course, Drosselmeyer here at Windstar, as are we this morning. Of course, on Tuesday morning, we segue right over to Keeneland for the first of four Breeders' Cup countdown shows presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns. That begins more than 20 hours of Breeders' Cup week coverage for you here on HRN.
Well, you know, the other thing about Drosselmeyer, he's kind of an HRN horse, because you'll remember that he winked at Sean Clancy in the Belmont paddock. Was it the Belmont? I think it was the Belmont paddock when he winked at Clancy and then won the Belmont. So he's kind of an HRN favorite, I think, all the way around. Matter of fact,
even Drosselmeyer thought that Clancy was the dream.
Yeah.
So dreamy.
So dreamy. Well, our good friend Julie, that listens all the time, she posted a tweet about that I told a story about Drosselmeyer winking, but it was actually him winking at Sean Clancy, not at me. Nobody ever winks at me.
You know, I will say this. As part of our coverage next week, we're going to have a special interview that you and I had the privilege of doing yesterday, and our listeners, we'll let you know when it's going to happen. You won't want to miss it. Jude and I had the opportunity to sit down and visit with owner B. Wayne Hughes and with trainer Richard Mandela at Spendthrift Farm, and we talked for nearly a half hour. And some of the things that were said in that interview are things that you may never hear again. And we talked about Beholder. We talked about their journey with Beholder and what it's been like for the two of them. And trust me, we'll let you know when that interview is going to play next week, but it's one that you won't want to miss.
Yeah, it's just one of those moments, and we've had a couple of them this year. Our little talk with Bob Baffert at the Saratoga sale was one that was off the hook. I mean, it was just a conversation between three guys, like we were having a beer, you know, and shooting the breeze. And yesterday was much the same. Wayne Hughes, just a guy that loves our sport. He's been in it, he said, for over 50 years. I've known him for over 40 years, and he just loves the game. And Richard Mandela, you cannot say enough nice things about Richard. I mean, one of the great trainers. I love that you said that, one of the great trainers in the world, and it kind of
the sport's ever seen.
Yeah, he that kind of picked up his head when you said that. I don't think he's not the kind of guy that actually thinks that about himself, which makes him even more cool. But he's a very nice man and a very talented trainer, and a guy that has a great sense of humor as well. So. It was just a fantastic half hour, and I was very privileged to be part of that. It was really, really nice.
That is just one of the exclusive interviews that you're going to hear next week. Of course, we'll be visiting with owners and trainers and jockeys and handicappers on the countdown shows. And, of course, when we get to the coverage of the Breeders' Cup races Friday and Saturday, presented by our friends at Cal Density, you're going to hear every one of those races live. But going to sit down later today with a one-on-one interview with our colleague and good friend Kurt Becker, who is the only announcer that Keeneland has ever had. And you think about that responsibility and his place in history. He'll be calling the Breeders' Cup for the very first time. We'll be using his calls on our radio coverage. Of course, Larry Colmus will have the call on NBC television. And really looking forward to visiting with Kurt, and that interview will come your way next week as well. One more quick reminder before we get you ready for hour number two. We're going to take a break here in just a moment, but want to remind you that you can listen to Express Bet Radio on HRRN every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoon from 3 to 6 Eastern Time. We bring you coverage from racetracks across the country and interviews with some of the top names in the sport. Anthony Stabile hosts the coverage along with the newest member of our team, Sean Morris, and you can tune in Sirius 220 XM 206 every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, and yes, always streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Going to get to a break. We'll pause 10 seconds for station identification, and we're back with hour number two. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what would be a common misunderstanding between an insured and the insurance company?
Mike, one issue is a policy condition that requires notification when an insured animal becomes sick or injured.
Do you mean in life-threatening situations?
Not just then, but if a veterinarian is called in for treatment other than routine care. Take, for example, if a yearling colt gets his foreleg caught in a fence and tears the skin. The coat is stitched up and everything seems fine, but later the coat develops a systemic infection. Then there is a serious situation that the company knows nothing about.
So the company needs to know, even if it's not a life-threatening situation.
That's right. It's a policy condition. The company has a stake in the health of the animal because of the existing insurance policy. The company might want to have its own vet examine the horse. In most cases, though, just a call or email is all that is needed.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. You gotta know Joe.
And they're off to New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late drop. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
This is the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End and Woodbine Entertainment on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Pharoah is finally the one. American Pharoah has won the Triple Crown.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bread, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Pharoah Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red.
Beholder, once again, is just making this look so easy. It is Beholder in an absolute canter, being geared down late by Gary Stevens. Beholder in a formality.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's the Baron and the Pontiff. We are coming to you this morning from the gorgeous Stallion Barn at Windstar, which is located on Pisgah Pike here in Versailles. It is a very easy drive from Keeneland and all points in the Lexington area. And you think about the stallions that are here, and you think about Pioneer of the Nile first and foremost, because he is the sire of American Pharoah, who produced the sport's first Triple Crown winner in 37 years. American Pharoah going next Saturday in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic, which should be an amazing race. Of course, you'll hear it right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. But, JT, a fun first half of the program, visiting with Caroline Walsh, the stallion season's salesperson here at Windstar, and with Gary Falter from Owner View, and we're going to cover a lot more ground in hour number two.
Yeah, it's been a great show so far. Learned a lot, actually.
We will actually try to pass along some updates on Breeders' Cup workouts later in the program. We'll try to get to that. We have our Road to the Breeders' Cup segment presented by Gainsway at the end of the show. We'll try to pass along some of those updates as we get them for you, so you'll know who did what just 6 days away from those Breeders' Cup Championships at Keeneland. Matter of fact, 6 days, 6 hours, and now just 25 minutes away.
Right. Well, I do know that Stop Charging Maria worked already this morning, and Todd Pletcher was very pleased. She went 47, galloped out strongly, and Shannon Potter, who works with Town and Country Farm, gave me a call about the work. It was a very, very good work, and Todd was over the moon with it, so that's one to watch for.
Yeah, she's a contender. That's a tough race.
Very much. It's a tough race, but she's a good filly, and she's been in great form all summer long.
Yep. All right, hour number two features Ann Hardy, the executive director of Horse Country Incorporated. You're going to want to hear what's coming up with Horse Country and all the things you can do while you're in town for the Breeders' Cup. Sean Tugel is the Bloodstock Services Manager here at Windstar. He'll join us right around 9:30 to talk more about this outstanding program here at Windstar Farm. And then, of course, our Road to the Breeders' Cup segment in the final 15 minutes presented by Gainsway. So without further ado, we welcome Ann Hardy, Executive Director of Horse Country Incorporated. Ann, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
And what an exciting time to be here in the bluegrass.
My goodness, isn't it? I cannot believe that we're here. I mean, for those of us participating in the festival week, it starts today.
Yeah, it does. And so many different things happening. Tell me a little bit about Horse Country and what you're planning to do as everybody makes their way into town.
Sure. Horse Country is a not-for-profit sports league that was formed by the owners and breeders who call Central Kentucky home for a lot of their horses and for their farms. And it was an initiative that was developed because they really wanted to play a part in fan development. So what better year could you possibly launch a fan development initiative for thoroughbred racing with our Triple Crown winner, American Pharoah, and going for the Grand Slam and the World Championships, having the Breeders' Cup here at home? So, of course, we had to be a part of that. And as the Breeders' Cup Festival Week shapes up starting tomorrow, starting Sunday the 25th all the way through Wednesday, Horse Country is going to be a part of supporting the Breeders' Cup Festival by offering exclusive and rare behind-the-scenes visits and tours with the staffs of various farms around the area. 23 different locations are participating.
All right, what does that mean? What's an exclusive behind-the-scenes tour entail?
Yeah, that's a great question. We are going to be offering sort of half-day experiences. They start at the Red Mile Round Barn, where there's kind of a festival zone going on. You can shop for some Breeders' Cup apparel. We'll have a little pop-up shop there. You'll hop on a bus with a hometown host, kind of a great ambassador who can tell you some fun things about Central Kentucky. We will take you to your first location, and then you'll have a great tour with the staff, with, in some cases, the owners of these farms, and they're going to tell you about their Breeders' Cup connections, why Breeders' Cup is so special to them, and they're going to give you some hints about who they'll be pulling for. You're going to meet some of the stallions who have sired this year's runners. You're also going to maybe meet siblings, dams, of the runners, and maybe even some future hopefuls.
Well, that's a cool experience. And so if somebody's interested in doing it, how do they go about it?
Absolutely. You can visit BreedersCupFestival.com and then choose events and then Horse Farm Tours. And when you do, you will be taken to a page where you can scroll through all of these different events that are taking place, again, from tomorrow, Sunday the 25th, through Wednesday afternoon, the 28th. Choose the pairing that you'd like to experience, and you can book it right there, and we will be ready to greet you and take care of you when you come to the Round Barn for your event.
Ann Hardy, the Executive Director of Horse Country Incorporated, joining us on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And our good friend Heedley Bell at Millridge, who he and his son Price, very active in horse country and getting this off the ground, sent me an email yesterday. And on the email, it says, horses, bourbon, flavors, history, meet, discover. It has those six words. And I thought, boy, what a great way to sum up what Central Kentucky is all about. And you think about, I guess maybe the only thing missing from that list is Kentucky Wildcats.
I don't know how we could have missed it, but we'll say that that counts within the flavors. It's really fun to see all of the focus on this signature industry that Kentucky offers. And, you know, the Bells at Millridge are one of the participants. So if you want to go see the flavor of Heedley and Price Bell, then definitely make sure you visit one of those experiences with Millridge. And, you know, we're just so excited here in Kentucky to welcome this event. It means so much to us that Lexington can be the host, and we, the community, are really geared up to just welcome everybody, and we hope that our local community, that our neighbors take advantage of all of these festivities and of the tours, too. We hope that everybody here just soaks it in. I mean, what an opportunity for us to be able to host this event here.
And how many farms are participating in the tours?
In horse country, you know, in the future for 2016, we have 33 locations. There are 23 of those 33 that are up and running and ready to participate this year, so this week.
Wow, great number.
Yeah.
Well done.
That also includes two clinics. So we have thoroughbred studs, we have nurseries, we have two clinics, and we also have a feed mill. I don't know if you all have ever been to see a feed mill, but it's like a how it works dream to figure out how they kind of do their secret sauce and get this very elite feed ready to go, sourced, shipped out to the world and here in Central Kentucky.
One thing that you said that kind of resonated with me was that it's not just for visitors, but locals as well. There's so many people that live in Kentucky that don't take advantage of the place that they live in, and maybe they'd like to, you know, learn more about the horse business and understand the beautiful farms they pass when they're on the road driving around. I mean, I'm in the horse business, and I'm still an accidental tourist after 12 years. I mean, Every time I drive by Calumet, I get excited. So it's a great opportunity for local people as well.
Yeah, I'm a perfect example of that, to be honest with you guys. This is a new industry to me. I'm learning a lot about it, and I am one of those people that lived in Central Kentucky for 16 years and had never taken advantage of the opportunity that we have to visit these farms. And to be fully honest, they haven't been really open and easy to access in all situations, but they sure are now. And so this is a don't miss it kind of thing. And we want to open those gates and just be welcoming to the whole community. And we hope that people will take advantage of that.
All right, Ann Hardy, Executive Director of Horse Country Incorporated. You can learn more by going to visithorsecountry.com. And Ann, we really appreciate the visit and appreciate all the work that you're doing and the entire team is doing at Horse Country. Keep it rolling, and we look forward to seeing the fruits of your labor coming up here shortly.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much.
Ann Hardy here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and like all of our guests who appear on the program, she's going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at embracetherace.com. What a great concept.
Yeah, no, it's a fantastic idea, and I'm always shocked when people that live in Lexington or surrounding areas say, oh, you know, I've never been to Keeneland.
Yeah.
I've never been to a horse farm. You know, some of them have never been to a distillery. I mean, why wouldn't you go? I mean, all those things are just fantastic and very, very interesting. And it's part of where you live. I mean, you know, But I am the accidental tourist. I mean, when I'm driving around, I see horses by the side. Last night I was driving home and you know, saw some broodmares in a field, and it just, for me, it's just like, you know, it's so serene, so beautiful, and the sun setting and the nice broodmares and the babies, you know,
spectacular.
Eating. Yeah, it's great.
And the fall foliage.
Now. Oh yeah, unbelievable.
The orange and yellow against that backdrop of the bluegrass.
Unbelievable.
Come on, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
All right, Jude and I are going to talk a little Breeders' Cup right after your Blood Horse news update. And, of course, a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Hard Aces takes a classic shot. John Sadler describes the results since acquiring Breeders' Cup Classic long shot Hard Aces simply and to the point. He said, quote, "It worked out," Sadler said of the private purchase he made for Ronis Racing early this year. The trainer might be selling himself a bit short. The move to acquire the 5-year-old Son of Hard Spun after his first stakes win January 17th in the Louisiana Handicap at Fairgrounds appears downright prescient at this point. And Untappable seeks a return to form. When you set the bar as high as Untappable did in 2014, there's not much higher to go. So even though the 4-year-old Tappet Filly has raced through a respectable campaign this year, the results pale when compared to her Eclipse Award season of a year ago. Nevertheless, Untappable will be in there fighting to repeat her victory from the 2014 Breeders' Cup Distaff on October 30th. Although the 2-time Breeders' Cup winner and 2-time champion Beholder is being pointed for a run in the Classic, the Distaff this year still boasts a deep and talented cast that appears considerably tougher than the field Untappable defeated at Santa Anita Park last season. And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For a look at the top headlines and industry news, just go to bloodhorse.com. Oh, JT, a little time to catch our breath here on the Equine Forum before we get to our next break and our next guest, which is Sean Tugel, the Bloodstock Services Manager here at Windstar. Do want to extend a very special thank you to Larry McGinnis, who is the Stallion Manager here at Windstar. He's been great getting us set up in the brand-new Stallion Barn and bringing us some waters and a few caps throughout the show. So we really appreciate everything that he's done, and thank you, Larry.
Yeah, it was very much appreciated. Very nice fellow. Brought me my very own More Than Ready cap, the first one I've ever had. So very excited.
It's a cool looking cap, too.
Yeah, it is.
All right. So I spent some considerable time looking at these Breeders' Cup races after the pre-entries came out. And I haven't gotten through every race yet, but I probably focused on 6 or 7 of them. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you feel the same way, because I know you spent time giving it a preliminary look as well. I thought that the juvenile turf races, both for the boys and the girls, were extremely difficult to try to narrow down and come up with 1 or 2 or even 3 horses that could win it, because it almost looked as if almost any horse in those races would have a legitimate opportunity.
Yeah, well, you know, I started with those because
I did
of that.
Too, for some reason.
Well, I did it because I wanted to get the Racing Post ratings on all the 2-year-olds and put them in, because there's so many Euros that enter those races. So I started out there, and then I made my own personal turf ratings from there. But it really hasn't clarified anything, you know, so to speak. I mean, the juvenile turf, you know, the colt race, I mean, a lot of contenders.
Do you have to look at Aeroforce as the one to beat?
Well, you know, Aeroforce is undefeated, and that's a good thing.
And he's won at Keeneland.
Another good thing, and he's got a nice pedigree. I mean, I certainly think he's a contender. The horse that had my highest turf rating was Dressed in Hermes, who won the Zuma Beach at Santa Anita, and he's a horse that's progressing nicely, too. That's Janet Armstrong's gelding by Hat Trick, who stands over at Gainesway. But you look at him, and he started out with a 4th-place finish in a sprint. Then they stretched him out on the turf at Del Mar. He finished 3rd, beaten a length, and then last time out, broke his mane in the stakes, the Zuma Beach. So he looks like a horse that's heading in the right direction coming into the Breeders' Cup, which I like. Janet Armstrong is a little-known trainer to most people, but she's a very good trainer. She's winning at 40% this year. She doesn't have many horses, but she does an excellent job. Another horse that interested me a little bit was Catapult, and this is a Chad Brown trainee who broke his maiden first time out. He got a 90 Brisnet speed figure in that debut, and you know, he raced against 11 horses that day, so I thought that was a pretty interesting performance. As far as the Racing Post ratings are concerned, Simric has 112. John Gosden's entry, owned by Godolphin Management Company, and this is a horse that's really been on fire this summer. Has 2 wins in 5 starts. His first race was a bit of a debacle. He finished 10th that day, but after that, he hasn't been out of the money. He's just a very talented horse, and just got beat a Zop in the Grade 1 in France. So I think if he comes over, he's going to be a very formidable foe for some of these horses. Shogun, who belongs to the Coolmore Boys and Aidan O'Brien, has 108. He was unplaced in the race that Simric ran second in. He finished 6th, but he only got beat a length and 3/4. So he might be another interesting Euro. But you're right, that's a very, very difficult race. Who did you settle on?
Well,
anybody?
No, you mentioned... We talked about Arrow Force. I think he is certainly a contender. I think Camelot Kitten, who was second behind Arrow Force in that Grade 3 Bourbon Stakes at Keeneland here, I think that he's a contender as well. I love the way that he's developing. Of course, he's a full to Bobby's Kitten, who is going to defend his title in the Turf Sprint. And I actually, the horse you mentioned right off the bat from California, Dressed in Hermes, I think that's a horse that you have to take a look at and improving, and for all the reasons that you mentioned, he's certainly one of the ones.
Yeah, I actually saw him on the track yesterday, and he looked pretty good. I like the way he went, and he's got a nice pedigree. You know, he's a progressive horse, so we'll see how he comes up to the race. He'll probably have a breeze in the next couple of days, because right now it's raining at Keeneland. In case you're listening to us from out of state, there's been a few workers this morning, but it's not what we expected. We expected a lot of drills today, but I think trainers are going to take a wait and see approach. The rain is supposed to stop. Actually, I won't do what the weathermen do. I'll actually look out the window, and it has kind of stopped. They predicted it was going to stop at 9:30. It's currently not raining.
Yeah.
So at least here at Windstar Farm. So anyway, it's supposed to be kind of cloudy the rest of the day, but Keeneland drained so well, and they may have a fast track for this afternoon.
Yeah, and keep in mind, with that juvenile turf, the Europeans, since its inception in 2007, the Europeans have really dominated that juvenile turf. So something to keep in mind as you're handicapping that race. The other race, the juvenile fillies turf, I thought extremely difficult. I thought Catch a Glimpse for Mark Cassie was one that you have to consider. I think that she's going to be maybe one of the favorites, and then you have to look at Illuminate as well, one of the Europeans coming over. I thought maybe the strongest of the European contingent. Don't know if you agree or disagree, but that's how I kind of saw that race. But again, there's so many different ways you can go in there.
Yeah, it's a really interesting race. Yeah, Illuminate, she has 112 Racing Post rating. She's the highest rated Euro from Racing Post, the daughter of Zoffany, and she's had 3 wins in a second. She got beat last time at Newmarket, finished 2nd, beaten a half length. But, you know, I don't think that's a big deal. I hope that doesn't affect our – we had a quick power surge here at Windstar Farm, but Chauncey's got us up and running. Alice Springs is only 2 points behind on the Racing Post rating. Another Coolmore horse. They're here in force. Aidan O'Brien has this one. She won by 4 last time out and at Newmarket, so – she's highly rated. Of the American horses, I like Catch a Glimpse. She has my highest turf figure. And another interesting horse I thought was Gliding By, who hails from Billy Mott's barn. This one, Josie Carroll trained first time out and won a race at Woodbine. So I don't know if it was a trainer switch or a private purchase. I haven't done that much work, but got a very good rating for me coming out of that race. And I think she could be a big contender here, a daughter of Artie Schiller from an arch mare that really came home. I know you like the Brisnet late pace figure. She got a 105.
Yeah, which is exactly why I like Brody's Cause in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, the dirt race, because he can finish. And his late pace numbers and his wins on dirt, his last two starts, are they just tower over everybody else, and he'll be rolling at the end. Yeah, the question is, you know, will they be able to catch a horse like Nyquist if he gets loose on the lead?
Yeah, well, that's the question. I mean, Nyquist's a pretty nice horse, and he's done nothing wrong. But, you know, these races are very, very tough. Post position draw is going to have some bearing on it. So I don't want to make any, you know, rush to judgments. Usually what I do
is, these aren't our final selections by any means. We're just kind of throwing some horses out that we think, at this point, based on the pre-entries, could be horses to keep an eye on.
Usually, because I keep up on it so much during the year, I pretty much could sit down and write down who I like in every race without even looking at the PPs. So I have those horses that I have an affinity for that I think have talent. So that's one list of horses that I make. Then I do my conventional handicapping, and that's another list of horses that I like. Then I have my favorite horses that I don't really care. They're going to be on my ticket because I don't want them to beat me out of a big pick four or something.
Yep.
So, you know, there's lots of ways to look at this. There's going to be a lot of scratches. We already have one. Ageless is not running in the sprint. She hasn't sufficiently recovered from her
the turf sprint.
Yeah, the injury that she received last time she ran, she cut her hock pretty badly, and trainer Arno Delacour doesn't feel like she'll be ready in time, and he's not going to rush her. So she's probably through for the year. They'll just wrap up on her, let her do her thing and heal up, and so she's the first scratch of Breeders' Cup. And for my friend Josh Christian, it's probably a good thing that she came out of a race that was oversubscribed.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you this question, O Pontiff.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm going to say something here that a lot of people across HRN Nation are going to consider to be blasphemy. But you look at the Breeders' Cup Classic, and you look at American Pharoah, the Triple Crown winner, and you look at Beholder and how brilliant she has been, and you've often said it's the boys running against Beholder. But why can't Smooth Roller win the Classic?
Wow. There's a question I would never expect.
Again, coming back to the late pace numbers, here's a horse that can flat out finish. And just looking on paper, okay, forget about everything else, that he didn't start racing until his 4-year-old season, when he made his debut on June 27th. Why can't this horse win the Classic? Because his late pace numbers are as good, if not better, than Beholder or anybody else.
Yeah, well, I don't think that anybody would say that he couldn't win.
He might be my top pick.
Well, I mean, you're certainly going to get paid.
I kept looking at this horse. I'm thinking, man, why not?
Well, first of all, let's talk about him a little bit. Victor Garcia is a name that not a lot of people know. But Victor Garcia has been a trainer for a long, long time, almost as long as since I started training, which yesterday was the anniversary of my first victory.
I saw that on social media.
35 years ago. So yeah. I think Victor became a trainer maybe like 5 years after me. So he's been training horses for 30 years.
35 years ago?
Yeah.
I
amazing.
Was nine.
Yeah.
I was in Little League.
Yeah. Well,
I was just starting Little League.
I got news for you. My wife wasn't even born yet. So that'll tell you something. anyway, back to Victor Garcia.
Oh, continue.
Victor's father, Juan Garcia, was one of the greatest Mexican horse trainers of all time. He was the king of Agua Caliente for many, many years, and an excellent, excellent horseman. And Victor has, you know, he worked for him when he was a kid. He's learned the ropes. So don't let the fact that Victor's only won 9 races this year in 71 starts, which is a respectable 13%. Don't let that affect you thinking, oh, I don't know who this guy is, blah, 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 blah. This guy knows how to train a horse. He knows how to be with a good horse. And he's done a magnificent job with Smooth Roller, and broke his mane first time out, wins an allowance race. He runs in the stake. He runs fourth and then comes back and wins a grade one. So this horse has obviously shown Victor something. He's got talent. You like his numbers. His workouts have been solid all the way along. He works like a good horse. You see that 7 furlongs in 125 and four. You know that the horse can run some.
So we're in agreement. He's the winner.
Well, I'm not saying who the winner is. Today is Saturday and this race is next Saturday. Now I actually have a Breeders' Cup crystal ball, but I don't know who's going to win, and I haven't consulted the crystal ball
yet. Yeah, whether he's going to be my top pick or not, I don't know. But from what I could see as I sat there and looked at all the contenders for the Classic, to me, he's the most likely upsetter if Beholder, American Pharoah, the Tonalist, let's say. I think Honor Code is very interesting, too, because he can finish. He'll come flying at the end, and I think people are going to overlook Honor Code as well.
Well, you know, and a lot's going to depend on the racetrack, too. How fast is the track going to be? We don't know what the track conditions are. We don't know what the weather's going
to
be.
It's supposed to be nice, by the way.
Yes,
that's
it is supposed
point.
To be nice. Michael Hernan told us that at the beginning of Keeneland.
Yeah, rain.
Looks like it's going to come to fruition.
Rain Wednesday and Thursday is what the plan is. Maybe Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, a little bit of rain. And then on Friday, we're looking at temperatures in the mid-50s, but dry and sunny, right around 60 degrees on Saturday. Dry and sunny, so we should be okay. The turf course may have a little give to it, though, if we get that early in the week.
Yeah, but it drains so good. It'll probably be firm, I would think. If we have 2 days in a row of nice weather, certainly be firm for Saturday.
All right, we're going to get to a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Sean Tugel, who is the Bloodstock Services Manager here at Windstar. We continue with the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Lane's End.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
It's closing weekend, so come out and join us for outstanding racing and a whole lot more right here at the Great Race Place. Saturday's feature is the $200,000 Twilight Derby at 1 1/8 on turf. Check out our popular 50-cent pick five, and don't forget, we guarantee $500,000 in the late pick four each weekend, so come early and get a leg up on your handicapping at the corner with Tom Quigley beginning at 11:50 a.m. in the East Paddock Gardens. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Kitten's Joy.
Big blue kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
And Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Tommy's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Past the eighth pole they come, and Smooth Roller goes on. Bayern is battling away in second, but Smooth Roller has his measure. And it's going to be Smooth Roller and Tyler Bay's impressive winners in today's Awesome Again Stakes. They win it easy.
Smooth Roller dominated the Grade 1 Awesome Again at Santa Anita on September 26th and is one of 5 Breeders' Cup contenders for Darley Stallion Hard Spun. His monster effort earned him a trip to the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic and is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Hard Spun is Danzig's last Grade 1 winning son, who sired more first crop stakes winners than any other stallion. Only Tappet and Bernardini have more Grade 1 winners than Hard Spun in 2015, and Hard Spun's 7 lifetime Grade 1 winners include Eclipse Champion Questing, Arlington Million winner Hardest Core, along with Hard Not to Like and Hard Aces. Only Street Cry, Medaglia d'Oro, Giant's Causeway, and Tappet have sired more than 7 Grade 1 winners from their first 3 crops in the last quarter century. To learn more about Hard Spun and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You are listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
Fusa Ichi Pegasus is toiling. The field comes off the turn. Tisdell on the outside. Albert the Great on the rail. The two of them continue to go at it. Here comes Giant's Causeway for Ireland on the outside. They're coming into the final furlong. Tisdell, tough as nails. Giant's Causeway on the outside. Giant's Causeway and Tisdell battling head-to-head. A heart-pounding, pulsating stretch drive. And Tisdell prevails. Tisdell has won it by a nose over Giant's Causeway. And it was close for third there between Captain Steve and Albert the Great.
Well, who can forget Tisnow, one of the greatest horses that we've seen in the history of the Breeders' Cup. He's the only two-time winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and he stands right here at Windstar Farm, which is our venue for this Equine Forum show this morning. Mike Pennant, Jude Feld, back with you and getting ready to visit with Sean Tugel from Windstar. He handles all the bloodstock services. He has been out at Keeneland this morning taking in all the workouts and getting a glimpse of what's happening with Breeders' Cup Week as we kick it off for you here on the network. And, Sean, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you on board. What was going on at Keeneland this morning?
Other than the rain, which wasn't too bad. The track actually held up really well. There was several horses that worked this morning. In your notes there, Exaggerator, I thought, worked extremely well. He worked in company with a horse and absolutely left them at the 16th pull. It seems like he's getting over the track extremely well. Private Zone worked pretty well. Obviously, probably just a maintenance work, just watching the way he's been training over the last couple weeks here. Lots of jogging, some slow gallops, and just kind of easy works. But obviously, he's right where they want him to be going into the race. And saw Beholder Gallop today. Looks like she's getting over the track extremely well.
Yeah, Richard Mandela, we had a chance to catch up with him yesterday. We sat down with he and Wayne out at the farm, and he seemed like he was pleased with where she is.
Yeah.
Quietly confident.
I was lucky enough to make my first trip out to Del Mar this summer, and I was there when she won the Pacific Classic, and that was just a jaw-dropping experience.
Yeah.
But not seeing her every day, but watching a horse ship in, it looks like she's carrying great weight, and just she gets over the track really, really well.
Yeah, she's a beautiful filly, and I agree with Mike. Richard didn't seem the least bit nervous about her. I think that little shipping fever incident was kind of planned for. They brought her in early, and she's done that before, so I think the idea was get it out of the way and
yeah,
go on with it.
Absolutely, and I think if it's any other week other than the Breeders' Cup, you never even hear about this. So, you know, they're just under such scrutiny that every little thing is exposed, but I don't think it's going to affect her.
Yeah, and I thought it was a great sign that she schooled the next day, because ordinarily, if you do have a horse that's sick or something, you're not going to take him over to school.
Yeah.
I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. And Richard is so contemplative about his horses.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that he wouldn't have done that if she wasn't just fine. You know?
Yeah, she looks super, so I don't think you need to worry about it at all. Yeah.
How about some of the Windstar connections to Breeders' Cup runners this year? What can we look forward to from Windstar?
Well, obviously, we're really excited about our own horse, Tourist. He galloped this morning. He breezed really well last week, and he'll probably put in one more maintenance breeze either Sunday, Monday. We don't know, because the weather doesn't look great over the next several days. He's doing very well. We also have Super Majesty that we bred, a really exciting three-year-old Super Saver filly who won a stakes last time out at Churchill Downs. She's, I believe, three for four. Off the top of my head.
Wow.
Yeah, and she just possesses a lot of just great natural speed. She should love 7/8, so she should be pretty live in that race. There's a filly who I've gotten to see a little bit and got to meet their connection a little bit, the More Than Ready filly, Nimarelia. She looks superb in the mornings and just a really athletic-looking filly, so I think she could run really well next week too.
Yeah, she was impressive coming over here and then running on the dirt and running so well.
Yeah.
So she's all right, that filly. Of course, yeah. I'm a More Than Ready fan.
Well, how can you not be? How can you not be? And if you just handicap More Than Ready in the juvenile turf races, I mean,
yeah,
he's already done so well there, too.
Yeah, it's remarkable. And what a Breeders' Cup is going to be. And, of course, Windstar will be involved not just with those horses, but you'll have a presence, you know, throughout the entire Breeders' Cup week.
And probably one of the most exciting horses, not only just as far as talent and the horse himself, but the connections and everything, is Run Happy. He breezed awfully, awfully well out there last week. And so we're really excited about that horse also.
He's serious.
He's
I mean, that's an understatement probably.
Just freaky. Just unbelievably freaky.
The way he trains and the way he runs. I mean, he just doesn't seem to have any other gear. It's just like all out.
It's all out.
The time.
It's all out. But you know, good horses work fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And he certainly is one.
And to see him win the way he did in the Phoenix with the saddle slipping all the way back on his hind end and still able to hold on and win despite drifting out.
Breaking slow, drifting out, saddle slip, and win by five.
Yeah, name me one thing that went right.
Yeah, nothing.
The picture.
You know, the chart just doesn't explain how good of a performance it was.
Yeah. Sean Tugel with Windstar here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. So, Sean, tell me what's happening here with Windstar. What things can we look forward to in the coming weeks and coming months that people want to keep an eye on?
Well, obviously, coming into the breeding season, starting soon, our new stallions are really exciting. Luckily, this year, we have several new ones. But we also launched this past week a great publication called Constellation. That's probably the most exciting new project that we've done over the last several years here. We're always trying to be in the forefront and leading edge in the thoroughbred business, and we feel like this is something that nobody else has ever done. We kind of felt like the stallion brochures were kind of getting a little boring in a sense. Everybody kind of was doing the same thing. You just put out a pamphlet basically with your horses and the stats. So instead of just doing your normal stallion brochure, we decided to do a publication. So two times a year, both around the Breeders' Cup time and around Kentucky Derby, which we feel are the two busiest times of the year for the thoroughbred business, we're going to be putting out a publication in a magazine. It has human interest stories. You get to learn about people who are shareholders. In this inaugural issue, we focused on how we break horses here and our training center with Richard Budge, our farm trainer. It's just a great way to not only learn about us at Windstar, but also have people that do work with us, like Hallway Feeds and the consigners that we sell with. We focus on them, and it's just a great way to learn about everybody who's involved with Windstar.
I just read an article about Richard Budge, your farm trainer.
In
the Blood Horse.
Yeah.
Is that where it was?
Yeah.
Yeah, really nice. Well done. A nice piece on him.
It was excellent. It was excellent. And if you've ever had a chance to meet Richard, he's just a wonderful guy, an extremely good horseman.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, the training facility here at Windstar, second to none.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I was lucky enough when I first started here, I was Richard's assistant for a little over 2 years and just was able to learn a lot from him.
What makes him so good?
Patience is one thing. Patience is, I think that's an understatement in today's world is patience. And you got Twitter and Facebook and everything is just so fast. But I think the basics of horsemanship still are just pure patience. And he lets the horse tell him when they're ready. And that's why he's so good at rehabbing those horses and why we've gotten such a great reputation of being able to take those high-class horses here and, you know, let them come back and compete at the very top level.
Yeah, it's so difficult to find somebody like that anymore. when I was training, it was a little bit easier. There were a lot of trainers that went off the track and had little farms and things, and you could trust your horses to them. Mm-hmm. But in today's day and age, there's not that level of horsemanship, nor people willing to give up the racetrack life to be able to do that for a farm. And it's a huge asset. I mean, I know Richard does a great, great job.
Yeah, now you're able to keep many of the Windstar horses home, right?
Well, that's the thing. Ever since, and that's why we built the training center, was we like to do as much in-house as possible. The more you're able to watch your horse every day, the better you are able to learn it and understand its talent, what it wants, what it needs. So that, you know, we breed them here, we foal them here, we raise them here, we break them here, and we usually have them up to 3/8 to half a mile before they ever leave the farm. So we have such a great basis to base off what we know about our horse and know which trainer it needs to go to or what type of surface. And so that's a huge asset to be able to have that right here on, on the farm.
Yeah, nobody ever wants to leave this place. It's so beautiful. If you could just build a beach, I would move in immediately.
Well, there, you know, there's some sand round pits out there, and you can put up a tent.
There you go. That sounds good.
Sean Tugel here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Sean, I want to thank you for all your help in getting this show put together and getting us set up out here. It's been great to be out here again. We love it. It's one of our favorite stops, and thanks so much for everything, and keep it rolling here.
Absolutely. We love having you here, and hopefully we can do it again.
All right. Enjoy it. Sean Tugel on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back and take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
Click, order, eat. The new way of ordering Jimmy John's Freaky Fast, Freaky Good Sandwiches is a trend that's sweeping the country. With me tonight to discuss this amazing phenomenon is Ed Stephanopoulos.
Hello.
America's favorite sandwich delivery guy.
That's not entirely true, Bob.
Excuse me?
Technically, all Jimmy John's delivery guys are America's favorite sandwich delivery guys, not just me.
I see. Okay, but we're here tonight to...
Actually, what I just said wasn't entirely true either, Bob. See, some of Jimmy John's delivery guys are actually delivery gals.
All right, so now we...
Or women, or ladies, or females, or persons of the non-male gender.
Ed, could we...
Although I guess that would be a mouthful.
A what?
I mean, if I had to say America's favorite sandwich delivery women or ladies or females or persons of a non-male gender.
Okay, let's say that regardless of whether your Jimmy John's sandwich will be delivered by a guy or a gal...
Or a woman or...
The fact remains that now you can order that sandwich online using Jimmy John's amazing Click Order Eat system.
That's correct, sir.
And what would you say is the basis of that system, Ed?
The what?
The basis, the essence, the sine qua non.
It's Click Order Eat, Bob.
Moving along here, Ed, what would you say has made Click Order Eat so wildly popular?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
It's freaky fast.
Bingo, Bob.
Click, order, eat. Jimmy John's freaky fast new online ordering system.
You sound just like a commercial, sir.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
HRRN is proud to bring you the Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, Tuesday through Friday morning during Breeders' Cup Week at Keeneland. We'll broadcast live from trackside and bring you interviews with trainers, jockeys, owners, and other racing insiders. Plus, keep you informed with up-to-the-minute news leading up to the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup Countdown Show, brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, October 27th through the 30th, only on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Lane's End. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's.
They're at the top of the lane. Stonetastic, the grey, tries to hold on. Lee Court, Judy the Beauty on the grandstand side, coming home gamely as well. And Better Lucky, but it's Judy the Beauty and Better Lucky, the two coming to dispute it now. Judy the Beauty sticks her neck out, goes for the wire. On the outside, Better Lucky's catching. Better Lucky, Judy the Beauty. Judy the Beauty, one at a head in a thriller. Judy the Beauty, Better Lucky just couldn't get there. Thank you, Mary Lou, came running on for third.
Judy the Beauty winning last year's Filly and Mare Sprint at Santa Anita. She will be back to defend that crown at Keeneland next weekend. We'll be there as well as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. You can go to horseracingradio.net to see a complete Breeders' Cup week schedule as we kick off 20 hours of coverage Tuesday morning beginning at 8 a.m. Welcome back, Mike Penna and Jude Feld. We're with you on the Equine Forum presented by Lane's End. And speaking of Lane's End, well, as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee, or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities at Lane's End, simply visit lanesend.com.
Breeders' Cup's coming.
It is coming.
It is.
Which means it's time to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year for Horse of the Year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
JT, we spent some time earlier talking about our thoughts on some of the different races, and next week we will go through all of the different divisions, and we'll have interviews with the top jockeys and owners and trainers. Those countdown shows are always so much fun. Of course, next Wednesday night we're going to be positioned at the Marriott Griffin Gate for a special show, which you'll hear from 7 to 9 Eastern Time Wednesday night. The National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Awards Dinner, which will honor Tom Hammond, longtime NBC broadcaster, and also the team of American Pharaoh, among several other honorees that night. And we'll have all that coverage for you, 7 to 9, presented by Cal Density, as is our coverage of the Breeders' Cup races Friday and Saturday, all presented by Cal Density.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week, a busy week, an informative week, and you'll want to tune into those shows in the morning on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Find out all the scuttlebutt, what's going on. We'll have tons of interviews with owners and trainers. And, of course, if you can't get to a TV or whatever, you got to listen to our coverage. Or turn the other guys off and listen to us while you're watching TV.
Why not?
Some people do that. It's quite flattering, actually.
You had some updates on some of the workers. We touched on a couple earlier, but there were a few that we haven't gotten to.
Yeah, Stop Charging Maria, we mentioned. She worked 47. Todd Pletcher was very, very pleased with that. Limousine Liberal, who is in the sprint, worked 46-2. That's a very good work for a three-year-old heading to a race against older horses. He's been running great, Limousine Liberal. Exaggerator worked this morning for Keith DeSormo. And he started out 5 lengths behind his workmate and just blew him away. Worked 59-2 for 5/8. DeSormo was quoted by Alicia Wince Hughes as saying, "We were hoping for a good track, and we got it. It was a spectacular work." So we can pay attention to him a little bit. I'm a Chatterbox worked also this morning, 1:04 under Florent Giroux. And that work was also very well received by onlookers at Keeneland. So that's the updates from Keeneland.
And, of course, I'm a Chatterbox pointing for the Breeders' Cup distaff on Friday afternoon. That's the featured event Friday before segueing into 9 Breeders' Cup races on Saturday. And I'll tell you what, you look at that distaff, and that is not an easy race to decipher by any stretch of the imagination. You have the defending champ, Untappable. You have David Fox and Sheer Drama, who figures to take a lot of play and be among the favorites in there, if not the favorite. Of course, I'm a Chatterbox, who maybe is going to be kind of on the outside looking in. And then you throw in the likes of Frivolous and some of the other contenders.
Stop Charging Maria's in there.
Stop Charging Maria, and the horse that I'm kind of leaning toward at this point, and that's Got Lucky, who I have loved all year long, and of course the winner of the Spinster Stakes at Keeneland.
Well, I liked Got Lucky last time. Of course, I've liked her all summer long. She was racing at Monmouth Park, which was my home track the last couple of years, and I got to see her compete there. So I thought she would be pretty tough in the Spinster, and she was. It was a good prep race for the Breeders' Cup.
It's not a good prep race for the Breeders' Cup in recent years, though.
No, I'm talking about her performance.
Yeah, her performance was great.
You know, that stuff, I don't pay much attention to that.
You got to go back to 1995 to find the last spinster winner to win the Breeders' Cup distaff. And who was that horse? Inside Information.
Well, there you go.
How about that?
Yeah, it's a long time between drinks, but
20 years.
Yeah,
that's
but,
a
you
trend.
Know, like recently, we had Pauly, and the you know there's lots of reasons why things like that change. You know, the Toyota Bluegrass used to be the number one Kentucky Derby prep, but it also used to be run on the Thursday before the Derby. So
yeah,
you know, things change in racing and. So I just try to look at the performances and not worry about that kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, and I'm going to play against history if I bet on her because
right.
obviously I think that she could be the one to beat. I really like her a lot. I think I'm leaning in that direction at this point anyways. And, you know, if I go with Got Lucky, I'm bucking 20 years of history here.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a football bettors approach, right? They always have those crazy stats. You know, Joe Flacco hasn't won a game against the New York Giants and 8 years. Or
hasn't won a game. My boy, from your lips to God's ears, huh?
Well, I'm not picking on Joe Flacco. I'm just using that
we
as an example.
We can do that for the next 5 minutes in the program.
Yeah.
Like, I'm okay with that.
But you know what I'm trying to say. But, I mean, David Fox is Philly, you know, and it was really interesting to me that he made a prediction that he was going to win the Breeders' Cup distaff with her after her last race, and the way she's training, it looks like he might have been serious about that.
Yeah, so. She's a contender. How about Kieran coming here back to the Bluegrass? This is, of course, where he was born and raised, and he sends out Wedding Toast to – she may be the favorite. With all due respect to Sheer Drama, Wedding Toast may be the favorite in here, and she's been ultra impressive.
She scares me, though, because she's like a Belmont horse. Same kind of deal like with Tonalist. Like you'll hear people talk about Tonalist and, oh, you know, it's not Belmont Park. Keeneland is not Belmont Park. Well, no, it's not. You're really up close to the horses at Keeneland. At Belmont Park, they look like ants.
Yeah.
So it's a whole different thing. You know, the mile-and-a-half racetrack really suits Tonalist. And maybe the mile-and-a-half racetrack really, really suits Kieran's Philly. But I'm a little leery. Just a little leery of taking a short price on either one of them.
I'm going to bring up another horse right after this short word from Gainsway that may be one to keep an eye on in the Breeders' Cup distaff. We'll do that next right after this word from Gainsway.
Power.
Carrick Gondi, the favorite in front. The Spaniard News of Canarias is fighting back. Carrick Gondi has won.
Passion.
Prestige Vendome is making him fight all the way towards the line. It's Carrick Gondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Carrick Gondi with a rush on the outside goes Venom. Late runs from Adam Dahl. Carrick Gondi and O'Dahl. Carrick Gondi.
Gainsway is home to North America's leading sire, Tappet, and is proud to announce the addition of multiple Group and Grade 1 winner, Carrick Gondi. One of the leading juveniles in Europe, Carrick Gondi won the Group 1 Grand Criterium with a time form rating of 115, and at 3, he scored impressively in the Group 1 French 2000 Guineas and stormed home to win the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile at Santa Anita. He returns to defend his title October 31st at Keeneland. Carrick Gondi, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
And to wrap things up, but Jude, I did want to bring up one other horse that maybe has the look of a long shot play in that Breeders' Cup distaff, and that's Yahilwa for trainer Jim Cassidy. And here's a filly that ran so huge, getting beat just a neck, finishing third in the Spinster on October 4th. She is training lights out here at Keeneland, including a bullet work on October 15th and 58-2. She just seems to be blossoming at the right time and liking this racetrack.
Yeah, she's a good filly. I mean, she ran second to Beholder. She ran a big race in the Spinster, and she's progressing nicely. That was the best race of her life, according to the Brisnet Speed Figure Scale. She got a 103 in that race, and that was far and away better than anything she'd run before. 97 was her previous best. So if she doesn't bounce off the Spinster effort, she could be very tough, and that 58 and change work kind of indicates she retains her sharpness. So,
yeah,
I could see her as an upsetter.
Which other horse, and we're talking about the 13 Breeders' Cup races, which other horse or horses are you really excited to watch next week?
Judy the Beauty.
Yeah.
I love Judy the Beauty.
See, my only concern with her is that her best efforts have come on artificial surfaces, with the exception of Santa Anita last year.
Yeah.
Well, that was not
other than her Breeders' Cup win.
Yeah, other than her Breeders' Cup win.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my only real concern. But look, I mean, she's probably going to be the one to beat in there, right? In the Philly Mare Sprint.
I mean, I would think.
You're the champ until you get beat.
Yeah, well, in her race the other day, I think it was a prep race. It wasn't necessarily an all-out performance. She had kind of a horrible trip. But if she gets a decent post, I think she'll be along in time. She's just really, really good. And I've felt like that pretty much her whole life. She's just super talented. So I'm looking forward to seeing her run.
Well, don't forget that 20 hours of Breeders' Cup Week coverage comes your way on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning this coming Tuesday, 8 a.m. Set your alarm clock. Make sure you're with us from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern for the first of four Breeders' Cup Countdown shows. We'll be positioned trackside at Keeneland with interviews with owners and trainers and jockeys and handicappers. It's all there, 8 to 10 a.m., the Breeders' Cup Countdown presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's, and then we roll right into all that Breeders' Cup coverage Friday and Saturday presented by Cal Density, and we'll encourage you to go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to find a complete broadcast schedule, and of course, follow us on social media at HRN on Twitter. This afternoon, 4 to 6 Eastern, Empire Showcase Day with Anthony Stabile and Acacia Courtney. You can listen exclusively at horseracingradio.net. Do want to thank all the folks here at Windstar, including Larry McGinnis and Caroline Walsh and Sean Tugel for helping to make this broadcast possible. Gary Falter from OwnerView for joining us today, and Ann Hardy from Horse Country Incorporated. If you missed any portion, go to our website, horseracingradio.net. Podcast this show available for you as it is every week on our site.
Listen. And listen well.
Well said, Pondo. For Jude Feld, and of course for our producers, Lee Delapina and Sean C., I'm Mike Pena. Go, Steelers!
Good night, Barbados.